It should be.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is my understanding that today is Lay Sunday in the Methodist Church. Miss Betty, we thank you for that beautiful prayer. As you see, I'm already going to struggle with it. But the people that participated, Miss Doris leading the affirmation of faith, Steve, Miss Catherine, and Tommy and Byron. As I stand here this morning, if we as Methodists can trust Tommy Criswell with the offering plate, y'all can afford a few minutes with me. Madeline, you played beautifully. A couple of weeks ago, I walked in the house. Suzanne was on the telephone, and she said, "Talking the dog." That's fine, but when she got through, she said, "Tony wants to talk to you." But he said, "You know, I need a favor. I understand there's a PPR meeting here, but Tony is immediately following the service. But Tony assured me that the committee met and they had wanted me to speak this morning. I get a feeling that it was a committee of one. But if you were on the committee that appointed or elected me to come here, there'll be another call meeting in the Anthill meeting immediately after." 40-something years ago, at Livingston, I took this speech class, and the only thing I remember from it is that if you get in front of a group of people, find a subject you know about. So, this morning, we're going to talk about price and bread and eggs, long-range shooting, or Auburn Tiger football. Not really. It's taken me 63 years to get here. I've been begging preachers for years, and then I finally found one that let me. But it's been a 63-year journey. Started a long time ago in the Baptist Church here in Linden. I've lived my whole life right here. And I've got water and Tic Tacs. I don't know how this body's going to work through this, so we'll make it. But I really thank my mom and dad. Jack Green was the preacher there at the Baptist Church when I was born. A few years later, Joe Patterson came. He baptized me. Mom and I decided to bathe when I was 9 years old. It started, I guess, my Christian journey, but, you know, looking back, maybe it wasn't the same experience that Tony talks about with his, but it started my journey, and I think by the fact that I'm here this morning, we both succeeded. But I remember Max Wood was, he taught us sixth grade all week, and then on Sunday he taught us Sunday school. I remember him well. Miss Mimi Tucker, Miss Nari Allender taught us in training union at night. I have a fond memory of Mr. Bill Palmer taking the RAs on a trip down the boat, a fishing trip. Don't think we caught any fish, but I do remember there was a moccasin on every limb out over the boat back then. But Mama passed me on to Suzanne. We were married right here in this church. 40-something years ago, and I don't remember an argument, but ended up Methodist. She's been very supportive, I know, for years. She got up every Sunday morning, went to Sunday school, left me at home. I did show up at church, but finally I got in on the last few years of Miss Elizabeth Mashburn teaching our Sunday school class. And once she left, Miss Catherine Friday and Sherry have done a wonderful job the last few years. So through all that, here I am, standing this morning. I would like first to start this with a prayer. So if you would bow your heads. God, we gather here this morning as saved sinners, but we come seeking an understanding and an acknowledgement of your grace. And we ask your presence to be felt here this morning. And remind us at all times to give you the praise and the glory for it. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to try to teach you anything this morning. I have nothing, I don't think, that I could teach you, but maybe I'll say something that will get you thinking. Go home, take your Bible, figure it out for yourself. If you disagree, or, you know, I've read a lot, formed a lot of opinions. And I do believe what I believe, but this morning, if I could give this thing a topic, I'd like to ask you, how strong is your faith? How bold is your faith? How much authority do you take from your faith? And I will say, excuse me, but I'm not going to say that my journey here has been easy, but I will say that it has been easy for me to believe. God has presented himself to me. He has placed protective angels around me, and he has answered prayer. And you can see so far that I'm not a polished speaker, but with God's help, we'll get through this. God has revealed himself to me on two occasions, through an emotion or a voice, I don't know. But if you were at the the community service, or the revival, you know that on Wednesday night I came forward. As Miss Betty said two or three Sundays ago, she spoke and doesn't remember what she said. I don't remember a lot of what I said, but I do know that Tony fact-checked it, and there were some wrong things in there. But God loves me anyway. But the other time was about 30 years ago. One Wednesday, sitting in the office where we are now, and this is tough. This was the first time that God ever made himself known to me. It's just a joy. Let me stand here today and tell you that. But I tell you, it's easy for me here because God has revealed himself to me, and there's no doubt. No doubt. But on this Wednesday, I was sitting there doing what I normally do, and this just sensation came, just wow. I mean, it was a wow. And I just kind of, I was getting ready to do stuff at the end of the day, to get ready to put it in the bike, as we always do. So I just kind of pushed back from the desk, and this voice told me, he said, you know, you got a friend. It's down in Pensacola, Florida. He's going through a Bible school. Needs some financial help. So then I was living in Pinecrest at that time, and we didn't have anything that we knew of. But God just, I mean, he was telling me, he said, I want you, with my help, to send Stuart Pope some money. And it was the first time he had ever revealed himself to me, and I didn't know what to do, so I questioned him. He's forgiven me for questioning through the years, but I told God, I said, if this is truly you, I want you to present Stuart Pope to me. And we grew up, we were as close as Suzanne and myself growing up. We started kindergarten. Our parents were the best friends, and we were buddies. We graduated from right up here, spring of 69. He went his way. He and Mike Nichols, I guess, went toward Birmingham, and I went toward Auburn. And when this happened, it was probably 12 or 13 years later. I had not seen Stuart in 3 or 4 years. He was, and if there's hope for Stuart Pope, there's hope for all of us growing up. But I questioned God, and I said, please present Stuart to me. This was on a Wednesday evening. If you know me the rest of my last 40 years, Thursdays are my day off. Have been. And I really kind of forgot about it. We were living in Pinecrest that Friday morning. It was my day to open the store. And so I got up like nothing else had happened. And went and parked down in the parking lot. And was walking to open the store. And I noticed there was a car sitting there. And right when I got beside that car, the doors open. Stuart Pope got out of the car. And so there's no doubt that it was God talking to me. I didn't know whether to faint, run. You know, I didn't know what to do. There was Stuart Pope. I'd ask God to present him to me. I said, where in the world did you come from, man? He said, well, you know, I'm in school down in Pensacola. He said, they gave us Friday off. Michael, his nephew, was with him. He said, Michael wanted me to take him fishing, so we're looking for some chicken livers for the fish buddy. I said, you give me 5 minutes. I'll go in here and get you some fishing type of bait, and you get on up the road. And he didn't know what I was experiencing at that time, but I got the chicken livers, gave them to him. And he went on up the road. I went into the store and just fell back against the wall. but it's been easy since then for me to believe. That was in the early 80s. And so as it would have it, I found out that Miss Eleanor, his mother, was going to visit in a couple of weeks. And so I wrote a check, put it in an envelope, and God told me to tear it up. He wanted more. So we did, and with God's help, you know the rest of the story. Now, did I put Stuart Pope through Bible college? No. But God, when with God's help, when and Suzanne, I guess, with God's help, made three contributions to him. And that has been a powerful story to me, for me. Another occasion was at the revival. If you were here, you know the story. If you weren't, I think it was a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday revival. And on Tuesday night, toward the end of the service, Brother Randy Creel was going to speak on Wednesday. And one of the pastors asked Brother Randy to come up and for people to come put their hands, strengthen him, let him know they support him for the next night's service. Several people came forward. Wynn Eccles did not. Going home that night, I mentioned to Suzanne that I wish my faith was bold enough that I could take that step out. And that was Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, while I was shaving, getting ready to go to work, that same spirit, emotion, I don't know what it is. I hope you folks have all felt it. But it came over me and instructed me to take a step of faith that night and come forward. And I promise you, that Wednesday was as tough a day as I've spent my whole life arguing with God, wanting to make sure he wanted me to do that. Just, you know, it was just... But he told me eventually, you know, you take the first step and get out of my way, and I'll take care of the rest of it. So, how bold is your faith? Can you take that first step? I mentioned angels. God has placed protective angels around me on many occasions. It is nothing shy of a miracle that I stand here today. One incident, it was on a Monday morning. It was my day to open the store. Soon after we got there, we determined that one of the freezers was getting warm. And we didn't know at the time, but the thing was losing its refrigeration. It got extremely cold. Pressure got low. There was some moisture in the line that it collected in the expansion valve, frozen, and had it blocked. Well, it tripped the breaker. And it was on one of the big compressors down the bottom, so I just reached down and flipped the breaker. When it did, the thing was under such pressure, it hit about three times, and the piston came through the wall of that compressor. Knocked a piece of shrapnel, I guess, about yay big, out. My head's this close to it. It didn't hit me. It hit a bracket that was holding the pressure valve and fell harmlessly to the floor. It could have blinded me, knocked my brains out, killed me, whatever, but I know there was an angel there watching over me. Another incident, Papa had bought an old backhoe from Billy Gray Bedsole. Some of y'all might remember Billy Gray, but it was a rickety something. Everything on it worked, but not well. If you're familiar with a backhoe, it's a big, cumbersome thing. Well, our family has been guilty of maybe some illegal dumping at times. But there was a 15 to 18, 20 foot ravine out there that we put stuff around from time to time. And this particular day I was on the backhoe and pushing, I got too close. That backhoe went over that hill. It bounced off an old car, a refrigerator, a washing machine, and came to rest right at the bottom of that thing about 20 feet down with me sitting on it. After I came to my senses, thank God for taking care of me, I put it in gear, rode out the end, and rode right back around. Just think about it. That thing could have fallen on me or whatever, but it didn't. He's placed many angels over me, of which I'm proud. Answered prayer. How many of you have seen answered prayer? I bet you all raised your hand. But even long-term prayer. How many of you helped us pray Oscar to Linda? It took a lot of prayer. But to see that, that's just God telling you He's there. You know, making you aware. And I can assure you, from 200 miles from nowhere in the mountains of Honduras, to 125 Realization Drive, it was a long way, and a lot of prayer. But we're so thankful. And to see Him and see that it's a prayer, you know, wow. But that makes it easy for me to be here. I apologize for my emotions. I'm an emotional guy, but we're talking about some serious stuff here. Getting to heaven, your faith. But I told you, Mama Termio Suzanne, 40-something years ago, I'm not going to call it a year because I get it wrong. She'll forgive me. God still loves her. But she has been very supportive of me and her dad. You know, I'm not familiar with the Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, anything else, but Paul Owensby, I am familiar with. And there's not a person that I've ever been associated with that has given more to other people than that guy. And some of that rubbed off on me, thank goodness. I'm nowhere, you know, close to where he is with his gift, but I know I should be with other people. But when Mama handed me over to Suzanne, she loves to give gifts. Christmas, she'll give a gift to your maid's nephew. Whatever. But as I said, 40-something years, we have given each other a lot, so much that we ran out of things to give, and now we give each other one another. But don't feel sorry for us. The UPS truck's at the house probably 3 or 4 days a week. But over the last few years, I have had people give me 3 things that have meant a lot. Suzanne's grandmother gave me a subscription to Guidepost. Never had read it before, but I've enjoyed that. Talking to other people, a lot of people can't wait for it to come each month. They say they read it from cover to cover. Myself, I read it one story at a time. But reading those stories, you see things that have happened in people's lives, good and bad. But there's one thing in all the stories. They all give honor to God at some point in their story. and I really enjoyed that. I think, you know, there are silver and gold gifts. And then I also think that there are things that may be spiritual or have a, you know, deeper meaning. That was one of them. Another thing that was given to me was the book Psalms 91 by Buford Goldman gave it to me. Christmas of 2011. How do I know that? Buford wrote me a note in the front of this book. It said, Psalms 91 has become my favorite psalm And through it, I have received a lifetime of protection through Jesus Christ. That means a lot. For somebody to think enough of me to give me something that means something more than silver and gold. But he who dwells in the house, in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And think about that. That's the first two verses of Psalms 91. And God's instructing you, or giving you the opportunity, or even begging you to dwell within his shelter. And in so doing, you will abide in his shadow. And I think that goes back and it reaffirmed the fact that God's taking care of me. And it tells in there that he will give his angels concern over you. But if you're struggling with your faith, Psalms 91 can really be a boost. And I think Peggy Joyce Ruth wrote the book. That's one person. She gives a lot of examples or whatever. But there's a lot to be learned there. It's meant a whole lot to me in my life, the last 3 years anyway. I've read it many times. I read it. I refer back to it. But, because you have called my name, I will satisfy you with a long life. There are other verses in there. For it is he who protects you from the snare of the trapper and from deadly pestilence. Term in the news now, you hear talking about Ebola. I don't want to discredit it. I think it's serious stuff. But if God is the one that protects you from the deadly pestilence, give him the faith and the glory for it, and just he'll take care of it. I believe that. And he'll take care of you just like he has me. I made mention of the Wednesday night at the community revival. Several days later, Judy Etheridge was in the store and came by the office and just, we were talking. And she was, the revival had done her well. And she was telling me she was so happy of what I had done. But then she said, you mentioned Psalms 91 and I want you to know how much that has meant to me. So during the conversation, I asked you, I said, well, I've got this book. Have you ever read it? She said, no. So I said, well, Buford Golden gave it to me. And I want it back, but said, you need to read it. So 2 or 3 days later, I remembered, and I took it around and gave it to Larry. Judy wasn't home. And a few days later, she brought it back. And she said, if you like this type of reading, I know you'll enjoy this little book. And she gave me a book. The title of it is The Believer's Authority. It's written by a minister of over 50 years that helped found another sister church, I guess, or whatever. I'm not familiar with what they believe, what really the Methodist, the real technical part. So I don't want to get into something that I shouldn't. But it was a powerful little book. It's only about 70 pages. I didn't read it for a month or two, and Suzanne and I were going to the beach a couple of weeks ago, I guess, and I told her to be sure to pack it. She did, and I read it, but it really reaffirmed a lot of my thoughts, questions I've had, or questions I've been around. But the little book is based on the book of Ephesians. Tony referred to Ephesians last Sunday in his sermon, but This guy gives a lot of credit to the book of Ephesians. But we all know that God created the earth, and how that story goes, and created man with the fall of Adam and Eve. We discussed that this morning in Sunday school. It's amazing how God will put things in front of you when you're getting ready for something like this. But when Adam and Eve fell, Satan was deemed the ruler of the world. And the way I understand that is of the world. But we as believers maybe don't live of the world. We're in the world. So later, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, to live and die for our sins. But, you know, in so doing, as Tony mentioned last week, He was deemed the head of the church. And I never had really thought of it, or never had hit home with me. And this guy gives a lot of credit for the resurrection of Jesus. But during the resurrection, or because of the resurrection, God's sitting on His throne in heaven, and Jesus ascended to His right hand. They are both sitting in heaven. Christ being the head of the church, but He left us here as believers to be the body of the church, or the body of Christ. And He and God are sitting up there, and I think they would like to see more out of us oftentimes than we are really willing to give. This guy makes a statement that if the church, the body of Christ, ever truly receives the revelation that they are the body of Christ and accept the responsibility, that there won't be the problems in this world that there are. So they're up there, we're down here, and we need to do the work for them. It's expected of us. And the guy goes on to say, when Jesus was resurrected, He took our spirits with Him, but He left us here. But He took them up there, cleansed them, and empowered them. And here we are today, you know, as His representatives here on this earth. And so, it is a faith thing. We have to believe by faith. Faith being what? Belief in things unseen. Jesus walked here over 2,000 years ago, and we didn't get to see Him, but He's here through things like my experiences. I hope that each one of you have experienced the same thing, had the same feelings, and it's as easy for you to be believers. But we oftentimes feel, I feel like from a layman standpoint, that we feel unworthy. Listen, folks. We're just as worthy, and we have been empowered by the fact that we are believers. If you have truly, you know, said with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are as empowered as Jesus. You are His body. A head's no good without a body. A body's no good without a head. But one thing placed in front of me in the last couple of weeks is in the book of Acts, if we feel unworthy, who are the main two characters in the book of Acts? The first few, Peter. Peter gave Jesus as hard a time as anybody on earth, other than the ones that killed Him. He doubted, you know. But yet God chose Peter to be the person that built the church. And then after the first few chapters of Acts, you get into Paul. Who in the world is Paul? At the time he was Saul. You know, we mentioned this morning the guy over there beheading the guy in the Middle East right now. There's probably not a person in the world that ever beheaded more people than Paul or Saul. But yet God forgave him. So whenever you feel unworthy, just remember those two characters, Peter and Paul. And know full well that Jesus walked on this earth and took your sins with him to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven by the virtue of the fact that you're a believer. One thing that's been mentioned in our Sunday school class, I think it was mentioned this morning, microwave generation. And Sherry, you hit on this morning. But we want God to answer our prayer right now. And after reading this book, I truly believe that God, when we think He's not answering the prayer, I think He's given us time to possibly tend to it ourselves. And if you are a believer with authority and you assume that boldness, maybe it is your responsibility. How many of us have petitioned God that we have wronged a person? And God, please make this right. What did God tell you? He said, you know, I'll give you the boldness to go to that person and tend to it yourself. And, you know, don't wait on God to answer it. He will. But tend to it yourself. Create a boldness in your faith to take that step to get it done yourself. Another thing that's been mentioned today is really has bothered me sometime that we open the store on Sunday when I would go to work when I should be going to church. And that, you know, I've been reassured, you're a good guy. You know, people see you there, yada, yada, yada. But I came to the conclusion after reading this book that the good life is good for you and your spiritual being, but it's not good enough for the non-believer in a lot of ways. We are here in a beautiful church, warm environment, and we're all here as believers. If our faith is weak within this building, how in the world can we be bold when we go, as Tony says, back to our world? I really think so often we live in neutral. And I think we need to put our spiritual life in gear. I was thinking the old three on the column. You know, neutral's right here. Some of you young ones don't know it. But you pull it up and go down and up and back down. Put your spiritual life in gear. And I'm getting close to the end, but like I said, God had put some things in front of me this last couple of weeks. One thing I wanted to mention is in the footnotes of the NIV, in the latter chapters of Acts, it's not in Scripture, it's in the footnotes, but the statement was, Christians, you and I, categorize people into two categories of what? Sinners. We as Christians, according to this footnote, categorize all people into two categories of sinners. The saved sinner and the unsaved sinner. There's a big difference there. And remember, Christ died for our sins, or for the sinner. Christ died for everybody. Whether you're here this morning, or whether you're, I don't know, on the riverbank drinking a cold Bud Light. If you're not, He died for them too. The difference is, we believe. And in so many instances, they don't believe. But Jesus died for their sins, just like He did ours. And it is our responsibility not so much to go back to our world and live a spiritual life, a good life, in neutral, but you're to make an aggressive approach and let that person in your life know that don't let them assume by your life. Your good life is good for you, but take it to the other person and get bold with your faith. Don't wait on God to do it. It might be too late. For the unbeliever to live and die on this earth and live eternity in hell is tough. But it's a choice they make. But it is a responsibility of us as believers to do our part. You know, an alcoholic is going to drink. If they want to drink, you're not going to stop them from drinking. But you can make them aware that you feel for them, for their situation. And that's just an example. There are other, you know. But don't live your life thinking that because you live a good life, they see it. Let them know through some act of love, kindness, or just communication, or a gift of something spiritual. But let them know. Don't just live your life in neutral. Put it in gear. And I think the whole world would be better off if we did our part, because we are the body of Christ. I appreciate your attention. I don't apologize for anything. I'm not ashamed to cry. But I would like to just ask you again, how bold is your faith? How much authority have you assumed through your spiritual belief? And I'm not going to end this service with a prayer. Tony can when we get through. But I'm going to go here to the altar and just thank him for being with me through this. And I have enjoyed it. And I'm glad after 63 years that I finally got to get here. But I'm asking this morning, how bold is your faith? Will you take that first step and get out of his way? Or not. I mean, that's just a challenge I'm making. Tony needed a favor. I'm not going to ask a favor. But I think from a layman's standpoint, I know all of you well enough that you could use some prayer time up here at this altar. So I ask that you come join me. I said at the revival, I was real impressed with Rob Wynn and his need or want for someone to follow him to heaven. And I challenge you again. After the service that night, a guy did not come down, but he told me after that, I'd follow you. So I know one guy is, but I'm going. Ain't a doubt. So come go with me.
we come to you today, thanking you. Thanking you for each person today that has stepped up, shared in this service, given of their time and their energy to glorify your holy name. It's wonderful to feel your presence. It's wonderful to yield ourselves to you and to seek your face. So this day, as we leave this place, we've been with you. We thank you again for what you're doing in this place and in this church and in this community and in our world. I pray today that we would leave from this place and put it in gear so that we would serve you the rest of our days on this earth. May the peace of God dwell within your hearts. May the love of Christ flow through you. And may you honor him through what you say and do. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Tell somebody you're glad they came today.